Hey badasses, you're listening to Breathe Like a Badass, the podcast for professional women who want to enjoy life beyond anxiety and learn how to use mindfulness meditation to get more calm, clarity, confidence, happiness, and health, one breath at a time. I promise you, it's possible. I'm Hannah, meditation coach for women, and I'm here to remind you that wherever you go, there you are. And wherever you are is pretty damn awesome, even if it doesn't always feel like it at the time. This podcast is brought to you by my free ultimate meditation checklist, my totally free step-by-step roadmap of how to get a consistent, effective, and enjoyable meditation habit in place, almost no effort required. Head on over to breathelikeabadass.com/checklist to grab it now. Or you can always come DM me on Instagram at breathelikeabadass to ask any questions and find out more. I'm on Instagram pretty much every day, and I would love to see you there. Feel free to screenshot this episode and share it on your stories, tagging me at breathelikeabadass, and let me know what you liked the most. Also, if you listen to this podcast and you like what you hear, please press pause and take 2 tiny seconds to leave a super quick review. Not only will it make my entire day slash week, but it will also help me get the word out there to more awesome women who really need it. That's it for the intro. Now on to the show. Hey guys, it's Hannah here. How are you doing? This week, my podcast is actually a little bit late. You probably haven't even noticed, but it is. It is at the time of this recording, it is one day late being released. By the time I actually get this out into the world, it will probably be 2 days late. I'm not too fussed about that because one of the reasons why I wanted to start my own business and do this thing in the first place is because I wanted to be able to set my own goals, set my own deadlines, and I wanted to not freak out if I missed one of my own deadlines by a couple of days. On the other hand, I do know that when I listen to podcasts that I love, I do know when they come out every single week and I do look forward to them. And sometimes if I haven't seen a new one for a while, I definitely think, oh, that's strange. Where have they gone? Now, I'm not going to flatter myself that this podcast is as popular as some of the ones that I listen to, but I will say that's why, if you're wondering, that it's been a while since the last episode of this Breathe Like a Badass podcast. That is why. It's been a busy week, I've had a lot going on, and if you look on my Instagram recently, I explain why being a solopreneur, basically somebody that works for yourself and somebody who is doing all the things and setting up your own business and all that jazz, can be absolutely fabulous and the freedom can be wonderful, but it can also be terrifying and it also means that the buck stops with you. And one of my aims with this podcast, as well as talking about mindfulness and meditation and chatting with some really amazing women, and also maybe some men too in the future, you know, I'm not against it. The reason why I wanted to do this podcast is also because I wanted to share honest stories about what life is really like, about what mental health can really be like, or should I say mental illness or mental stress, anxiety, whatever you want to call it. And the reason for this very long preamble is just to say, life is busy. Life can get anxious. I am human. Yeah, I'm a meditation coach, but hey, coaches need coaches, and I often get sidetracked and I get overwhelmed and I have too much to do. And so yeah, when you're a solopreneur and you're working for yourself and the buck stops with you and no one else, sometimes, yeah, you find that you miss deadlines to yourself, such as getting your podcast out on time. So with that said, I did want to talk about this week that, of course, this is a solo episode. This is my second solo episode on this podcast. If you cast your minds back all the way back to episode 1, which was like 2 months ago now, which is crazy. But episode 1 was my story and basically how I went from being very depressed and feeling like I had no direction in my life to finding mindfulness meditation and learning how it could help me be more self-compassionate, find direction, clarity, focus, confidence, and all those other really incredible key life skills that it just really gave me direction with. And for whatever reason, before I discovered mindfulness meditation and the principles behind it, I felt like I didn't have those tools in my life to deal with stress, understand how to be confident, feel like I had direction and clarity and confidence in my life, and feel like I had the motivation and self-belief to put shit out into the world that I truly believe in. And it was only when I found mindfulness meditation that I was able to say, oh my goodness, it's not just me. I'm not the only one with anxiety. I'm not the only one that doesn't think that I'm good enough. I'm not the only one that feels like I don't have the confidence to do what I want and live my dreams. And when I discovered it, it basically showed me that there can be so much freedom and so much joy in just stopping that crazy train in your head for a few minutes a day and just examining and observing compassionately and judgment-free what's going on in your head. And I know that if you've ever suffered with anxiety or not knowing what you're doing with your life or a lack of self-esteem, lack of confidence, I feel like you're gonna know what I'm talking about. So you'll see that I don't actually have that many solo episodes because I love talking to people and I love great conversations. And I just think it's way more interesting if I get somebody else's perspective most of the time when I'm recording these episodes. However, obviously as a mindfulness meditation teacher, I do feel like I sometimes have something useful to say about some of the main questions that I get asked and some of the biggest issues that women that I speak to talk to me about when it comes to meditation and when it comes to making mindfulness relevant in their own lives. And this episode is almost certainly going to be the last episode in this season of the podcast. Watch this space though, because I do have some amazing guests lined up for season two. Honestly, they are so great. I danced around the room when a couple of the women that I'm thinking of said yes, when I asked them if they wanted to be guests on my podcast. So seriously, you're gonna have to watch this space. Because they're gonna be awesome. I'm so excited to share those episodes with you. I've got so many insights. Anyway, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this podcast solo is to wrap up season one, almost certainly, and also to share a topic that comes up again and again when I speak to women about mindfulness meditation. And basically something that comes up a huge amount with the women that I speak to and clients that I've had and potential clients or just people that I speak to on Instagram, quite honestly. Often mindfulness meditation has this PR problem. It has this idea that it's all about being calm, that it's just a relaxation technique, that the goal with mindfulness meditation is simply to be super calm and super chilled, and you're not doing it right unless you are sitting on a Buddhist meditation bubble cushion cloud of calm and happiness. And you know, if you sit down to meditate and you find that actually you don't feel calm and you don't feel super chilled out, then you must be doing it wrong. And I cannot stress enough how completely inaccurate that image that sometimes people have of mindfulness meditation is. Now, of course, it can help you get calm. It can help you feel more serene. It can help you feel more clear. It can give you clarity and confidence, and it can help calm down the crazy, stressful spiral that you maybe have in your head. But the goal of mindfulness meditation is not purely to get super calm. It is not about getting so chilled out that you don't care about anything. It's not about just letting everything wash past you. No ambition, no goals in life, not bothered about anything. That is not the goal. And quite often we can tie ourselves up in even more knots if we think that the goal of mindfulness meditation is solely to achieve this fabled state of future calm. And sometimes we think that there's no point even trying because maybe firstly we think it's not possible and we're not going to feel calm and what's the point? And secondly, and this is the big, big point, so many of the women that I speak to say that their goal in their life is actually not to feel calm. almost without exception, the women that I speak to say that they want to learn mindfulness meditation. And if you're listening to this and you're still here, I'm assuming that this is probably true for you too. You want to learn mindfulness meditation because you want to feel good about yourself. You want to feel great in your own skin. You want to feel like you can kick ass and take names and take on the world and do brilliantly at work or achieve your goals or run that marathon or do that business proposition or go on that date and feel like a rock star. Whatever it might be that you have going on in your life, so many women say to me that they want to learn mindfulness meditation, not so they can just kick back, chill, get nothing done, and feel super calm. They actually want to feel inspired and they want to feel like they can take on the world. And yeah, you need a sense of calm and a sense of clarity and focus to do that, sure. But it's much more about feeling energized and about feeling like you can get shit done more than it is about just feeling like you're gonna just chill out, not do anything, and basically pretend that your life is one long massage session, which sounds nice in the short term, but in the long term, we wanna get stuff done, right? We've got goals, we're ambitious, we wanna be great versions of ourselves, and that means that we can't just be calm. That means that actually we want to use mindfulness meditation as a tool to feel energized, to feel focused, to feel like we like ourselves and love ourselves even eventually to the point where we believe in ourselves and we can go out there and get shit done and hit our goals and achieve the projects that we have in our minds so that we can go out and live a life that we love, because that's ultimately what we're all trying to do here. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be happy, confident, clear about what I want to do with my life and feel like I can go out there and achieve whatever I set my mind to. And that's that key word there, whatever I set my mind to, because it's all about mindset. And this takes me into the real meat of today's podcast. Meditation is not only about how we think, because as I say, mindset is so much also about what we do. The action that we take once we've given ourselves that mental space that we need to see clearly. Because yeah, okay, we can achieve a huge amount just by thinking about our thoughts or training our thoughts to be one way or without the other. But without action, we're not gonna get very far. If we can't see the link between what we do on the meditation cushion or wherever it is that you do it, you guys know that I learned to meditate on the train, so I didn't have a meditation cushion, but you know, go with me here, you know what I mean. If we can't see the link between taking our meditation off the meditation cushion and into the real world, we're not going to get very far, because we're going to maybe feel like we're doing a great job during our 10 minutes of meditation every morning or whenever we do it, but then we're going to think, well, cool, but how does this apply to my life? And that for me is really where it gets interesting, how we can take the lessons from mindfulness and from meditation and actually apply them to our lives. And what's super cool is that I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts recently. It's like podcastception, you guys, like I'm podcasting about podcasts. But basically, I think you guys may have heard me talk before about Real Talk Radio with Nicole Antoinette, who is a badass through hiker and creative all-around businesswoman, and she has an incredibly successful podcast, like I say, called Real Talk Radio. And she also has an incredible friend called Jamie Varon, who I basically have a serious girl crush on Jamie, and the reason for that is because she's just an incredible writer. She just gets shit done. She shows up on Instagram completely honest. She is just fantastic at putting into words something that you may have been thinking in your mind for ages, and then you see one of Jamie's Instagram posts and you're like, oh my God, yeah, that's exactly what I mean. How did you know? And it's like she's in your head. She is also a specialist in branding and website design and creative strategy. But to be honest, I love Jamie because she is an incredible writer. And also, like I say, she has this uncanny ability to put words to an emotion or a thought that you maybe thought you were the only one that you were experiencing. So if you guys haven't checked out Jamie Varon, you need to go do that ASAP. Head on to Instagram. I'll put the link to her account in the show notes. I have absolutely no affiliation with Jamie whatsoever, apart from the fact that she's an absolute badass and I love her. And also, you guys, huge announcement. Seriously, Jamie Varon is going to be a guest on this podcast in future episodes she's going to be one of the earliest guests on season two. I literally died when she said yes. I mean, obviously not literally because I'm here talking to you. But you guys, when she said yes to the podcast, I did a little dance around my living room. I'm not even kidding. So yeah, major girl crush. Anyway, the point is that she was having a conversation with Nicole Antoinette on the Real Talk Radio podcast. They've had a couple of episodes with them together. And when they get together, it is just absolutely fabulous. All the stuff that they talk about. Anyway, they were talking about the difference between action and mindset. And basically they were saying, mindset gets us to believe in our goals, but actions actually get us to our goals. Because basically having a positive mindset, doing your meditation every morning, yeah, cool, it's all great. But if you do that without taking action, it's kind of pointless. Like, I would say it's not completely pointless because at least you'll feel happier in your own head and at least you'll have those 10 minutes in the morning where you feel a bit calm and a bit more clear and you feel like you can shut down your crazy overthinking mind for a second. So I wouldn't say that it's completely pointless, but I would say that if you're like 99% of the women that I speak to, you want to use meditation as a tool to help you become more successful and happier and more driven and confident in your life rather than just sitting down for 10 minutes a day and feeling like you're good at meditation. Because like I always say, I think I say this quote every single podcast, basically, we don't meditate to get better at meditation, we meditate to get better at life. I think that's a quote from Sharon Salzberg, but I'm gonna have to go check it. Anyway, that is what I am talking about this week, if you haven't realized already. Meditation is great, but for me, the real magic is about taking what we learn on the cushion and seeing the results in the rest of our life as well. And for me, a really great example of this, actually, and I'm gonna go on to ways that you can implement this in your own life in a second, but I just wanted to give you a concrete example of how this has actually helped me in my life, because I feel like this could actually be super useful for a lot of people listening. And for me, it's running. So I started running about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. Not that long ago, maybe a year ago. And when I first started running, you guys, I swear I couldn't run for longer than like 2 minutes. I'm not a natural runner. I had never been that athletic. I had never considered that running could be something that I would be good at. And what do you know? I wasn't good at it. I was absolutely terrible at it. I had about 7 sports bras on because I am not built for running, let's put it that way. And I felt like I was heavy. I didn't know what I was doing. I had never done it before. And oh my goodness, I literally was like, I don't think I can do this. But I knew that it was really great for exercise. I knew that it was good for health, mental health. And also it's free, right? You can just put on some shoes and go outside. And I was just like, right, I'm gonna do this. I am gonna learn how to run. And so yeah, I went from being able to only run for about 2 minutes to now being able to run a 10K. And about a month ago, I did a 10K run. And yeah, it was an actual run in London with a medal at the end. It was amazing. And I went out and I ate so much pizza after I did it. But you guys, I trained myself to run for like an hour and a half from only being able to run for 2 minutes. And for some people, that is nothing. Like some people do marathons and they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. This is like my 10th marathon. But for me, it was absolutely unbelievable. I actually got to the point where I was looking forward to running. And now if I hurt my foot or I get ill and I can't go out running for a few weeks, honestly, the impact on my mental health is unbelievable. I never, ever thought that I would be the kind of person that looked forward to running. And I swear that for me, running is a physical challenge. It pushes me outside of my comfort zone. And I credit my ability to do all of this to my meditation mindset. So yeah, meditation and the mindset that it brings is so key because it allows you to take action. That's what's so amazing. It cuts through the overthinking and the voice in your head that tells you that you're not good enough and that you can't do it and that you're not good at running or whatever it is that you're trying to do in your life. For you, it might not be running. It might be doing a new job or feeling like I said earlier, like you have the confidence to go out on a date. You know, I've been with my partner now for a few years, but we met on Tinder. You know, I had to pluck up that courage to go on that blind date, to go on yet another Tinder date and wonder if I was going to come across well and how it was going to go and if it was just going to be another Tinder date that didn't go anywhere. And that takes a lot of courage and that takes a lot of action. And that is the sort of situation in our lives where we want to have a really great positive mindset. We want to feel confident in ourselves. So yeah, whether it's dating, whether it's work, whether it's stress, whether it's a relationship, or whether it's something like putting one foot in front of the other and running a 10K, the way that mindfulness meditation allows you to actually take action in your life and set a goal and get it done is unbelievable. Talking of running, I actually did see a recent study from the University of Arizona, because I was reading about this stuff and trying to make myself feel better about how running can be similar to meditation. And I actually found a quote by this guy called David Raichlin. I have no idea if that's pronounced correctly. He said that his study gave fresh weight to the idea that running can be a form of moving mindfulness meditation. And I also read an article in The Guardian newspaper by a guy called Ben Martinoga, and he says, brain scans show that meditation and running can have a somewhat similar effect on the brain. In the midst of a run, you are likely to be immersed in the present moment, tuned into your bodily state, and conscious of your breath. These are all key aims of mindfulness-based practices. Lacing up your trainers and going for a run could, therefore, be a way to reap some of the psychological benefits of mindfulness. I will put a link to both of those studies, both of those articles, in the show notes. And of course, that article is obviously trying to draw parallels between mindfulness meditation and running. But I would say, don't try to make one replace the other. I reckon that they are true complements for each other. And as I said, I believe that this principle can apply to pretty much anything that you are trying to do in your life. So yeah, I'm talking about meditation and running, but for you, you could apply these lessons to pretty much anything that you are trying to do in your life. Because like that article in The Guardian said, it's about practicing your attention in the present moment, tuning in to your bodily or mental state, and being conscious of what you're doing. So whatever it is that you're trying to achieve in your life, mindfulness meditation principles are going to help. I have identified 5 key ways that I personally feel that the parallels between meditation, mindfulness, and getting shit done, whether that's running or whatever it is that you want to do in your life, parallels between them and the ways that they help me take real action. Not just sitting on the meditation cushion feeling super zen, but actually getting shit done in my everyday life. So without further ado, the first point is that mindfulness shows you that bite-sized actions can add up to huge results. Now, I've already talked to you about the fact that I started running literally, I kid you not, for about 90 seconds before I had to stop. And that's basically how I worked my way up to being able to do a 10K, and I'm now training for a half marathon, and hopefully I will be able to do a marathon someday. Although, hey, let's just try and get to the half for now. But that is basically how I have approached so many things in my life. Start small, work up. Now, you know, if you're on my Instagram, that I am obsessed with habits. I'm obsessed with taking things slow. I'm obsessed with telling people that if they don't want to meditate for 20 minutes, they should just start with 2 minutes and seeing how they go. And that for me is a real lesson in action taking that mindfulness has helped me achieve in my life. There are so many sayings about this because we're so obsessed with it. Rome wasn't built in a day. The journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. All of that stuff. And honestly, it is so true. And it's because if you feel like you have a huge goal or you have a massive objective that you're trying to achieve, something new in your life or something that feels challenging, and it feels overwhelming, the best way to cut through that overwhelm is just to remember that all you have to do is start. Even if you only do one tiny thing that is going to get you slightly closer to your goal, that's already better than not doing anything. It's the same with everything. So exactly as I tell people to start with just a couple of minutes of meditation every single day, I would say do that with everything in your life. What is one thing that you can do that is going to take you closer to your goal? Like me, with my crappy running shoes on all those months ago, I ran for 90 seconds and then I walked for a bit. And then I ran for 90 more seconds, and then I walked for a bit. And for me, that felt way more manageable than being like, well, you've just got to go out and run 5K, because obviously I wasn't going to. So that is the first lesson. There's another amazing quote by Aristotle, which is, we are what we repeatedly do. And that makes it really clear that only regular small actions will get us to where we want to be. So that's the first thing. Bite-sized actions add up to huge results. The second point might seem kind of paradoxical, but basically it's the idea that it's so important to give yourself a damn break. So in as much as the first point was about pushing yourself to just do one small thing, it's also super important to remember that learning new things takes time. And it is so key to allow yourself some slack when you're just starting out. So like I say, a new runner wouldn't expect to lace up their running shoes and run a marathon straight away. So we can't expect to sit down and meditate and be brilliant at it the first time. We can't expect to take on a new challenge or set ourselves a new goal and expect that we're gonna be amazing at it first time. And this is a really difficult one for me because I used to think that if I wasn't good at something first time or it didn't come supernaturally to me, that I basically shouldn't try and that there was no point even carrying on. And actually in my life now, the older that I get, the more I realize that that is so self-defeating and so self-sabotaging. And actually it's so important to realize that you have to give yourself a break. You have to give yourself some slack and realize that when you're new at something, you're gonna get so much further if you don't beat yourself up when it gets difficult. If you just say, you know, okay, I'm gonna take a break rather than give up. And mindfulness meditation teaches us that. It teaches us that we can give ourselves a break and realize that practice is part of the process. And actually, at the moment, I'm reading this amazing book, and I will put it in the show notes so that you guys can go and look at it. But it's an amazing book called Mindset by Dr. Carol S. Dweck. And it is basically all about the idea that there is a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. And without realizing it, I have been learning the growth mindset purely through the principles of mindfulness meditation. And for the purposes of this point, the growth mindset basically says that the magic is in the struggle. The magic is in the trying and the trying again. And that for me was super difficult to grasp, but that is part of the process. So whatever it is that you're trying to do in your life, whatever action that it is that you're trying to take, just remember that part of it is finding it difficult, trying again, and giving yourself some slack. So that's point two. Point three is the idea of being in your body, and being in your body is key to action. And I talk about this a huge amount because it's something that I really only discovered when I started doing mindfulness meditation, and it was that awareness of your physical body and using that as a tool to get focused. So don't worry, I'm going to explain it because I realized that that's kind of a bit vague and a bit obscure, but it's basically the idea that so many of us are in our heads such a huge amount. You know, we get distracted, we overthink, we consider stuff, we ruminate, we worry. You know, if you're anything like me, you spend hours having like imaginary conversations with people or thinking about what you're going to write in a text or worrying about what you said or didn't say. And it can be really easy to feel like you're in your own head and getting totally dragged down by your negative thoughts. And it can be really unusual for us, especially if we work in intellectual professions, you know, if we don't do a lot of work with our hands or in our bodies, it can be really difficult to bypass our crazy mind and actually just focus on our bodies and our physical feelings. And if we're not used to zoning our attention in to our physical body, sometimes when we do it in meditation, when we're a beginner, it can be really difficult to even know what it feels like. But when you get more used to that concept in meditation, such as, okay, I'm just gonna try and bypass my brain and just be in my body and focus on how my body physically feels, to the point where you don't even have to say it in words. You don't even have to have a running commentary in your head like, okay, I'm hot now, or I'm warm, or I can feel the texture of my face or whatever. Instead, we kind of turn that part of our brain off almost, and we feel more in our bodies, and we start to tune our attention to how our bodies feel, and maybe the textures, and maybe the smells, and maybe the temperatures, but we don't necessarily have to put words to it. We just realize how we feel on our own skin. And by learning to notice our breath and our physical sensations, we can actually start to identify sometimes where stress actually lives in our body. And there's a technique that I talk about in my courses, which is where you learn to actually send breath and love to those areas of your body. And I know it sounds kind of woo-woo, but it really isn't. It's just about identifying where you might hold tension. So for example, in your stomach or in your chest or in your shoulders, and using your breath and using your mindfulness as a tool to help you relax in those areas. And this in turn helps you feel at ease in your own skin. And that basically means that you can use your physical body to push you through and take action in your life, even when your mind is trying to give up. So this is especially true with running, but it can be true with anything. You know, when I'm running, my mind will say to me, oh my God, I can't do this. It hurts. I can't, like, I need to stop. And yeah, my body still continues to run. Even if my mind is complaining, even if my mind is giving up, my body's still running. Like, I'm still doing it. It's still a physical thing. So you realize that your mind and body, as much as they are hugely connected, that actually there's a huge amount of freedom in separating your mind and body and realizing that your body does have its own strength. And that separation of mind and body can actually be super liberating. And I'm not advocating pushing yourself through pain. I'm not advocating not listening to your body. It's actually the opposite. It's tuning into your body and realizing the strength that you have and tuning in to how your body physically feels, to tap in to your resources of strength, and to realize that actually you don't have to be in your mind all the time. You don't have to be overthinking, freaking out, letting your negative thoughts pull you down. Sometimes you can just zone into your body and get stuff done that way. And yeah, it's just about strengthening that connection between mind and body almost, and realizing how they can work together, and also how sometimes they can let each other be. And that can be an incredibly liberating way of looking at it, especially if you're trying to do something like start a new weightlifting program, or if you're trying to maybe eat more healthily and you're trying to get in touch with whether you really are hungry, or whether you need to drink more water, or whether you need to get more sleep, or whatever it may be. The ability to use the principles of mindfulness meditation to zone in to your body is absolutely liberating. And you know, your body has its own wisdom and it can send you signals regardless of your brain. And if we start to tune into that, we can start to listen to it, and that can help us take action in leading a healthier and happier lifestyle. At least I have found that it is invaluable in doing that. The fourth point is teaching yourself self-compassion. Self-compassion for your mind and self-compassion for your body. Now, this is sometimes a concept that feels kind of woo-woo because it can be a little bit touchy-feely. You know, British people especially, you know, we're maybe not very good at being like kind to ourselves. But honestly, talking about this mind-body connection, when we feel more at ease in our own skin, this can actually teach us to visualize sending love to ourselves physically when we need it, and be compassionate to ourselves even when we're working hard, even when we're pushing ourselves through to achieve big goals. Now, if you imagine how it feels if you get a hug or a kiss from somebody that you love, tuning into your body and strengthening the mind-body connection can actually be a way of giving yourself this kind of love yourself. So that when you're suffering from challenges, or you're getting difficult goals done, or whether you're suffering from anxiety or depression or pain, or, you know, whether you're just trying to finish the damn run, Hannah, like me, then, you know, building a physically self-compassionate relationship with your own body can be absolutely transformational. So yeah, often when I'm running, I imagine myself sending love to anywhere in my body that it hurts. I'm super conscious when I run, you know, even if I've got music on, even if I'm listening to a podcast, I'm super conscious of how my body actually feels. And I'm super conscious of, okay, I noticed that that side of my body feels a bit more stiff today, so I'm going to ease off at first. Or, okay, I feel like the pace that I'm running at now is not great for my shin, or, oh, it's hurting in this part of my leg. Okay, I'm going to back off, or I'm going to try and run in a way that's not going to hurt that part of my body. And this is basically just, as I said earlier, strengthening the body-mind connection and learning how to treat yourself with kindness and not saying, oh my God, I've just got to push through. Why does my body hurt? It shouldn't hurt. There's no reason for my leg to hurt, or whatever it may be. And for us to actually say, I'm not going to beat myself up about this. I'm going to realize that I have areas of tension or areas of pain, and I'm going to send myself love and compassion and kindness to your body. Breathing in and out, sending waves of oxygen, love and ease to those places, whether it is your leg when you're running, or whether it's your headache that you've got because you've been working hard, or whether you realize that it's the butterflies in your stomach that you have because you're about to give a presentation at work, whatever it may be, figuring out this body-mind connection and fostering an attitude of self-compassion towards yourself in your physical body as well as your mental state, that can be an incredible way of tuning in to what you're feeling and what you really need, so that you can then feel more at ease in your body and you can breathe deeper and continue to get stuff done and continue to carry on running or give the presentation or go on the date or whatever it is, but you're sending love and kindness to yourself. And doing that instead of getting stressed or telling yourself that you shouldn't be feeling what you're feeling is always going to feel kinder and always going to feel more compassionate. So as I said earlier, this isn't about pushing yourself to breaking point. It's not about pushing yourself through pain, but it's just about making your body a safe space and your mind a safe space so that you can push yourself maybe slightly out of your comfort zone, or you can get stuff that you never thought you could get done, actually done, without reaching breaking point. And you know, this feels different for everyone. So it's super crucial to get used to that mind-body connection and practice it in your own mindfulness sessions so that you can get used to your own signals, so that it's not just me telling you, oh, you know, strengthen the mind-body connection and push through. It's actually you being able to listen to your body and realize what you need that day. And it may be different from one day to the next. And that is also part of it. Being compassionate to yourself and realizing that you are not a robot, and that some days you're going to feel great and other days you're going to feel less great, and that's fine. The fifth step, the way that mindfulness meditation has helped me to actually get shit done and achieve things in my life, is it has proven to me that I am stronger than my excuses. So learning how to give yourself mental space and cutting through negative thoughts actually helps prove to yourself how strong you are. So moving forward from a place of self-trust and learning how to feel grounded and powerful in your own skin, you know, whatever that looks like, whatever that feels like to you, like I said earlier, you know, my courses focus on figuring out what works for you, helps you get meditation in your life in a way that works for your life and your needs and your objectives. And the reason for that is because it may feel different to you, how it feels to me. But ultimately, if we can build a compassionate mindset and move from a place of self-trust, it proves that you can free yourself from overthinking. You can prioritize yourself. You can set yourself goals. You can find time in your life to do this really fantastic, healthy habit. And you can just cut through the overthinking, quite honestly, and just do it. And I think that so many of us paralyze ourselves with fear and indecision. I mean, there's that phrase, analysis paralysis. It's basically this idea that we just overthink and overthink, we beat ourselves up, and we don't learn to see our swirling thoughts from a distance. So we just keep on getting sucked down the same negative rabbit holes over and over and over. And I actually do sometimes call this the negative automatic pilot, NAP, because it's our mind quite literally NAP, napping on the job, because your brain gets used to being in these habits and gets used to going down these rabbit holes. And it's so much easier then for our brain to automatically go into this negative automatic pilot. And actually, what mindfulness helps us to believe about ourselves is that we are stronger than that. And mindfulness meditation helps us to take action in bite-sized chunks, prioritize time for ourselves, give ourselves a break, be self-compassionate when the going gets tough, push ourselves out of our comfort zone in manageable, compassionate, gentle stages that will then allow us to do and be far more than we may ever have imagined, you know, when we first started. Like, if you had told me that I could run 10K when I first started to run, I would have literally laughed in your face. And I was reading a book recently, I think it's by Bryony Gordon, called Eat, Drink, Run. I think that's what it's called. I will go and double check for the show notes. But basically, she started out not being able to run, and she did the bloody London Marathon. And I reckon if you'd said to her when she first started running that she was going to be able to do a marathon, she would have laughed in your face, you know, told you that you were insane. And so it's amazing in this life what we can do if we set our mind to something, set ourselves goals, and then just approach them with self-compassion, approach them bit by bit, step by step, no more overthinking, and realize that actually we can surprise ourselves with what we can do. We can run a 5K, run a 10K, do a marathon, get out of the house, you know, after a period of anxiety. That can sometimes feel like a marathon, you know, if you've been feeling like you're overcome by anxiety. You know, I know that in my own life, sometimes it can feel difficult enough just to get out of bed, have a shower, do some yoga and eat something. You know, that can feel like a marathon. And so this isn't just about outward goals that seem shiny. It's about something that's powerful and useful and important to you, whether it's getting a job or having a promotion or going on a successful date or whatever it is. Any goal that you felt maybe was impossible just a few weeks ago or a few months ago, or hell, even a few days ago, these mindfulness meditation techniques will help, because it's about taking yourself out of overthinking. It's about taking yourself out of analysis paralysis, which for me is a huge thing that can really derail me. And it's about realizing that you can just push through. You can take small steps. You can break tasks down into tiny manageable chunks. And you can actually stop overthinking. You can just say, you know what? This goal is important to me. I'm setting myself this objective and I'm going to get it done. I'm going to stop thinking about it and I'm going to do it. Being able to train your attention like that to the point where you can cut through the BS of your own brain and get shit done is an incredibly liberating place to be in. So it's about dreaming big, taking small steps, starting where you are, and just getting to work. So cultivating a space of love and a can-do attitude in your mind is going to make it far easier to harness the energy and power that you truly need to actually get stuff done. So you can walk into rooms and feel confident. You can have that conversation with your boss. You can go on that date. You can have that awkward text or whatever it is. These are situations that so many of us struggle with. You know, maybe it's just that you want to run a 10K, you know, like I did. Maybe you just want to start to get a bit more fit. Maybe you want to just drink a little bit more water. You know, I'm not here to tell you whether your goals are too big or too small, because there's no such thing. If you have something in your life that you want to do, the principles of mindfulness meditation can absolutely help you get there. That is what this podcast this week has been about. So I'm just going to summarize those points, because I know that I go off down caveats and I talk a lot. So I am just going to summarize. So number one, there's a difference between mindset and action. Mindset is amazing. And like I say, mindfulness meditation, the formal practice of it on the cushion, is how we train our mind in the principles that I'm talking about. But there's a difference between mindset and action. And if you want to get shit done in your life, like so many women I talk to do, you want to be making the difference between mindset and action and using one to help you with the other. So yeah, the first point that I said today was that bite-sized actions add up to huge results. We are what we repeatedly do, and we can start small and work up. Number two, it's important to give yourself a break. Give yourself some slack. Yes, this podcast is about getting shit done, but so much of getting shit done is realizing that you have to be kind to yourself, and part of the magic is in the struggle. It's in the process. And that for me has been one of the most difficult lessons that I've had to learn, and I'm still learning it. But if we can see the process and the challenge as part of the goal, then we're going to be able to pick ourselves up off the floor much more easily whenever we find it difficult or whenever we get struck down. Number three, being in your body is key to action. Being able to separate mind from body, that was a really important point, you know, basically realizing that even if your brain tells you that you can't do something or you don't feel like it, you can do it. And as I say, that's not about pushing yourself past your comfort zone to the point where you break. It's about realizing that actually you can do things even if your mind is telling you that you can't. And that's especially true when it comes to something physical like running, but it can apply to basically anything. Step four was just, again, about self-compassion, about being kind to yourself so that you can realize that it's basically just about cultivating a gentle approach with yourself. sending breath to any areas of tension or pain, but also realizing that you can create a safe space for your body and your mind, and that if you're on your own side, I've actually read somewhere, I'm going to try and figure out where I read it, but it's just this idea that you are your own cheerleader. And realizing that you are on your own side, I mean, that feels unbelievably awesome. When you finally realize that you do not have to be at war with yourself and that you can be kind to yourself, I mean, that is life-changing. And that's something that mindfulness meditation helps me practice every single day. And the fifth one was that you are stronger than your excuses. So many people say to me, oh my God, I don't have time to meditate. I want to do it. I know it's good for me, but I don't prioritize it, blah, 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 blah. Once you get into the habit and the place of being able to prioritize meditation, and you can do it every single day or 5 days a week, 6 days a week, you can not only practice these principles, but you show yourself that you are worth showing up for. And this in itself means that you can practice feeling grounded, powerful in yourself, and proving that you can do something that you set your mind to, and that you can free yourself from overthinking and just do. As I said, that helps us free our minds from analysis paralysis and shows that we are indeed stronger than our excuses. That is it, you guys. That was the podcast this week. Basically, those 5 points on how mindfulness meditation can help you take action in your life so that it's not just about getting good at meditation, it's actually about getting better at life, because that's ultimately what we are all here for. I have got some incredible guests coming up in the next few weeks for the next series of interviews with some badass women. So do not worry, it's not just going to be me monologuing for the rest of the time. We are going to return back to the usual format of interviewing, and I cannot wait to share some of the incredible insights that I know we've got coming up in the next few episodes. I am so excited. I cannot wait. But this was one of my solo episodes. This was way longer than the first one. The first one was just kind of an intro into me and who I am and what I'm doing. This one was obviously a lot more in depth, and I really hope that this has helped you figure out how mindfulness meditation can actually be relevant in your life and help you get shit done. Because as much as it's fantastic to feel calm and chilled and feel like we can free ourselves from constant overthinking, sometimes we don't just want to sit back and chill. Sometimes we actually want to get shit done in our lives and feel powerful and like we can actually take on the world with the confidence and clarity that we want in our lives. That's it, you guys. I feel like I'm rambling now. Goodness knows how long I could go on talking for if you let me, but I'm gonna love you and leave you. Thank you so, so much. Please do let me know if you enjoyed this solo episode, because obviously it's a bit different from my other weeks. So yeah, if you like this solo episode and you have questions or there's anything else that you would like me to address in future solo episodes, please do drop me an email, hannah@breathelikeabadass.com, or come find me on Instagram, drop me a comment or a DM @breathelikeabadass. That's it for this week. Thank you so, so much. I love you all. And just remember, wherever you go, there you are. And where you are is pretty damn awesome. And that's it for this week. If you like this podcast, please subscribe so you don't miss out and you get new episodes every single week. This podcast is a new project for me, and I'm just trying to spread the word and get the power of mindfulness meditation out there to every single person who needs it. There'll be a brand new podcast pretty much every week, plus some free meditations as well. And I've got some interviews with other badass women in the pipeline, so you will not want to miss out. Also, make sure that you grab a free copy of my ultimate meditation checklist for your happiest, healthiest, and most consistent meditation habit ever. Because we all know it only works if we actually do it, right? Head on over to breathelikeabadass.com/checklist. And if you could leave a review whenever you listen to my podcast, that would be amazing. In the meantime, come follow me on Instagram for more meditation and self-love tips @breathelikeabadass. I'm there every day, and I'm just out here to remind you that wherever you go, there you are, and where you are is pretty damn great. That's it for this week.